What a good-looking bunch of Christians. Today's scripture reading will be coming from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 1 and 2. Please follow along with me. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on under perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of the baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment.
Don't hate me just yet. I am a great preacher. And how do I know that so confidently? Well, first of all, you all remember the main points of my sermons that I preached last week, and that you have worked hard in putting them into action. Looking at the faces, some of you, I'm beginning to question that opening statement. But how well do you remember the sermons from last week? How much did the classes and the sermons lead you in your spiritual walk during the week? See, I now see the problem. Your growing spiritually is not my responsibility. My job is to give you the tools and to help you in your walk. But it's really your decision as to how much God you want in your daily life. Have you ever felt frustrated with a person when you try to explain something to them and no matter how much you try, they just don't get it? When it comes to our spiritual lives, it is also frustrating when someone you love seems to be stuck in their spiritual walk. They're not growing. And it may be difficult to say, but they even might be falling away. The truth of the matter is that we expect more from them than they expect from themselves. Listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verses 1 through 3, Paul writes, "But I, brethren, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready for it, for you are still of the flesh and behaving only in a human way." Paul is sharing here his frustration with the church at Corinth because they refused to put into action the Christian principles that they had already learned. I'm sure that Paul would have liked to have been with them and had a much deeper study with them, but until they grow spiritually, that study can only go so far. The point is, it's not so much how much you know, but how much you apply what you know. The Hebrew writer has an issue with his readers and listeners as to what they should already know. At what point in time does a spiritual leader say to a group of people, it is time to grow up? It's time to put your knowledge into action. If you will, turn to Hebrews chapter 5. I'd like to read to you verses 11 through 14. And I want you to look and listen to the frustration that he is feeling in these verses. The writer says, "About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives in the unschooled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. By this time is his phrase that he uses. There comes a time when people who have been Christians for a period of time need to act and grow like Christians who have matured in Christ. But he also uses the term dull of hearing. He's not talking that they need hearing aids. He's basically calling them sluggish or maybe even lazy. And not only has these people to whom he is writing to not pushed on with their spiritual growth, but they have become content on where they are at this moment. No one can make you want more for your spiritual life than you do. That is something that you need to determine. Staying immature and sometimes even stepping backwards happens when we become content to drift away from the Word of God. The ones to whom this writer is writing to are slow to hear God. It's not that they can't hear God, it's that they won't hear God. And by this time, they ought to be the spiritual teachers, but instead, they still need someone to teach them the things that they should have grabbed hold of years ago. It's like they are living in perpetual spiritual kindergarten. And this brings us to our scripture reading in Hebrews 6 in verses 1 through 3. He writes here, therefore, and I'll repeat it, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instructions about washings and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. It's the idea of hear, but do nothing. That is Satan's success story. Satan loves the Christian who comes on Sunday and lives the Christian life on Sunday, but goes back out into the world the next day because they're out there with people that they do not really know their spiritual background and live the other 6 days for Satan. It's like Satan is saying to God, you see, you have them a couple of hours a day, I have them the rest of the week. In essence, the Hebrew writer is saying that there is a time and a place for Christian kindergarten. But by this point, these people should have been beyond that. It is time to leave the elementary doctrine of Christ. It is time to get out of kindergarten and to move on with your faith. But I said leave, I did not say forget. For we must always continue to remember those things because we will be needing to teach others. You know, we liked being saved, but we don't like repenting. We like calling Jesus our Savior, but we don't like the idea of lordship. Too many Christians want a religion that makes them feel good but costs little by way of time and talents and character. It's like they want to be able to swim in the shallow end of the pool but think that they're swimming in the deep end. We need to move beyond the basics of how to become a child of God and start growing as a child of God. The elementary things are our foundation to keep on moving. But what happens when Christians won't grow and don't grow? Generally, they fall away. It's not because of a particular incident. It's because oftentimes they stop drawing near to God. It needs like we need to keep singing that song in our head every day of every week. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord. But we seem to drop off those words when we walk out the doors. This writer is giving a warning that is for many difficult to accept. One that is pushed to the extreme we find in Hebrews 6 verses 4 through 6. Where he writes, "For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt." These are some of the verses in the Bible that need and cause us and should cause us to fear. But if you are fearful of these words, I don't think that you have to worry about them being true in your life right now. These verses are about people who have made life choices that have caused them to walk away from God. We cannot lose our salvation, our gift from God, like we lose our keys. One moment we have our keys in our hand, and the next we can't find them. That is not a Bible teaching about God's gift of eternal life. When you want to give up on God because you think He has given up on you, that is Satan trying to snatch away your hope. We understand sin. We might even in our own minds have terrible sins, but we cannot out-sin God's grace. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 18 through 21, it teaches that where sin increases, so does grace increase all the more. It's not a matter of being too sinful for God. Now, don't misunderstand me. Just because grace increases as sin increases does not give us a license to sin. But when we examine our text and many other passages, what you find is not that a Christian being condemned because God is angry, because he has too many sins. But it is because many Christians refuse to repent and turn again to God. I believe that we do not arbitrarily lose our salvation. We're saved. We're lost. We're saved. We're lost. But yes, we can ultimately reject our salvation. The Bible is teaching that the problem is with us and not God. It is not God. It's not that God is unable to forgive. It's that a Christian is no longer able to repent. It becomes impossible from their choice, not God's. You know, yesterday as Kaylin and I were driving back from camp, taking Vicky and Grant, my grandson, to PBC. Wrong finger. Sorry. I am amazed oftentimes at some of the biblical questions that a seven-year-old gives me, and she causes me to scramble the neurons in my brain to answer those questions. And for the hour that it took us to drive, only within the last 10 minutes did she finally stop asking questions. Some of those questions, I was almost to the point of pulling over and pulling out the Bible in the car, door of the car. She has a deep desire to know, as we should all have that deep desire to know. But more than just a deep desire to know, we also need to have the deep desire to put it into practice. Because we can know the Bible inside and out. But if it is not a part of our life and our everyday way of walking, it is just another book that we've read. This is why, you know, oftentimes the writer is telling us in Hebrews chapter 10 about what happens if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth. The rejection is us to God. We end up walking away from what God has freely given us. But if we need to keep this all, the whole context together, we have to finish the passage in Hebrews 6 and verses 9 through 12. The writer says, "For though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things." Things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in the serving of the saints as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. This is only a warning. It is not a condemnation. It is a warning that should draw us closer to God. God does not throw us away. God does beg us to stay close. You know, in the beginning of this lesson, I had asked how many of you remember the points from last week's sermons, and I've got to be perfectly honest, I can't. And there's, I guess, maybe a reason for me. I don't know. It's sometimes the way the brain works. But if I don't want to confuse the message of the following week, I have to get rid of some of the stuff. But all week long as I prepare my lessons, I am thinking about how to make the changes that I make in preparing those things. Because as I said many times, every sermon that I preach to myself all week long before I ever deliver it to you. Because I need to hear the same things and I need to beat myself over the head with the same things in order to put them there. Because if any preacher is honest with themselves, they are no different than the ones sitting in the pews. And they deal with the same issues that everyone else deals with on a daily basis. And they try as hard as they can to walk the walk too, as imperfect as the walk that we walk on this earth is. But that doesn't mean that we cannot continue to grow together, to love one another together, and to put the principles of these things in place together, so that as we journey in this life, we have one another to lean on and to gather strength from and to learn from one another. But you know, if you're not a Christian, it's a hard thing to do to walk this walk in this life. A life with no hope. A life with an ending that is very severe. And God only gives us one opportunity in this life to do it. He only gives us whatever years we have in this life to make that choice. And when this body gives up the ghost, we will not be given another choice. It has to be made the here and now. And if there is no one, and if there's someone here that is not a Christian, we want to give you that opportunity to have that hope of eternal life. Through repentance and confession and baptism, you can have that hope. You can become that child of God. You can be added to His church and part of the body. And then go from the spiritual milk to the meat and learn and walk this walk in this life to ensure that you maintain that salvation. And maybe you are a child of God, and maybe you have walked away a little bit. Maybe you're not allowing God's word to work in you on a daily basis. Maybe you're hearing it, but maybe you're not doing it. You need to get to the point now that you're doing those things that you hear. If there's any way that we can help you, we ask that you come as together we stand and we sing.